We are doing the Navi Yeshaya. We're up to what's called the 11th chapter, 10th Pasuk. The Navi had been describing the time that's yet to come. World peace. The child will play by the nest of the python. The suckling will place his hand by the most poisonous snake. None of these will inflict any harm on God's holy mountain, for the land will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem, just as the water covers the floor of the sea. And on that day, or at that period, the word bayom ha'u could mean in that period, Shoresh Yishai Asher Omeid Lenes Amin. That root of Jesse that will stand on that day, that day when all the exiles, the diaspora, will regather, he will be Lenes Amin. He will be like a flag, like a banner that leads people from all the nations. Everyone's going to gather around Mashiach's flag. Eilav goyim yidroshu. The nations will seek him out. Vehayeta menuchato kavod. The rest of the Mashiach will be his honor. And in order to understand this, we have to understand the perspective of kings in the period of the Tanakh and in the Renaissance period and the Dark Ages. Up until the last century, the norm around the world was that if you had power, you'd flaunt it. And if you had power, you'd use and abuse it. So the only kings that would sit quietly would be those that couldn't do anything. Once a king had the power to do something, he would do it. Kings were always planning and plotting how to expand their empire. So ordinarily, a king would be hiring new knights, and he would be hiring new personnel, and he had to use it. He couldn't just leave these knights roaming the city, they'd just be troublemakers. These were people who were trained to fight, and all they knew how to do was fight. So what are they going to live off of? If they don't have an enemy to fight, they'll fight inside his kingdom, and they'll destroy his kingdom, so he's always got to keep him busy. So there's always got to be a new war. The only kings that were sitting peacefully were those who didn't have a worthwhile army. The Mashiach will have peace, v'ayeta menuchato kavod. And the rest, the peace, the tranquility that will be in his day will be his honor, because everyone will obey him without going to war. So that's what's yet to happen in the days of the Mashiach. He is Shoresh Yishai. He is that descendant that comes from Jesse, which is another interesting point. Ordinarily, the word Shoresh means the root of. But we have many words in Tanakh that represent both aspects. The word Shoresh could mean the root of, or could mean that which came from the root of. V'haya b'yom ha'o yosif Adonai sheinit yado liknot et she'ar amo. And on that day, or at that period, Hashem will again, a second time, will acquire his nation. Just as in the redemption from Egypt, it was clear that we were God's people, so too in the redemption of the Mashiach, it will be clear that we are His people. Because in the Second Temple period, it didn't seem like it was God running the show. What you saw was the Persian Empire, the Mede Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, but you didn't see the Jewish Empire. You saw the Jews as adjuncts to great empires, where Koresh, the Persian king, he's the one that grants us license to go and rebuild the second temple. So it doesn't seem like we're God's people. The redemption, that second redemption from the Persian Empire, isn't so glorious. We got a letter from Koresh saying, listen here, Jews, whoever wants to is welcome to go rebuild the temple. Doesn't seem like God's leading the way. It seems like Koresh is leading the way. Right? So that's why the Navi describes there will be a second coming. There will be a second time when the Jewish people and the world recognize that we are God's people. And that's at the time of the Mashiach. Remember, Yeshaya is prophesizing before the destruction of the first temple. And he's saying there's yet to come a time when the root of Jesse, the descendant of Yishai, the Mashiach, will gather the nations. Everyone will look up to him. There will be peace in the world. That will be his honor. And it will be recognized that we are Hashem's people. Asher Yishael me'ashur mi'mitzrayim umipatros umikush umeilam umishinar umeichamat umeiyei hayam. The remnants that will remain in the Assyrian Empire, Egyptian Empire, Patros, Kush, Elam, Shinar, Hamat, and the islands of the sea, all of these people, the remnants of all of these nations, will gather around the banner, around the flag of the Mashiach. And they will all be recognized as the people of Hashem. The Jews that come from all these nations will be recognized that they are Hashem's men. V'nasa neis lagoyim. And then the Mashiach will raise his banner to the nations. He will encourage them to send the Jews back to their homeland. V'asav nidchei Yisrael. And the Mashiach will gather the Jews that have been scattered. Unfutzot Yehuda yekabetz me'arba kanfot ha'aretz. And so he will gather the Jews that have been scattered to the four corners of the land. V'sara kinat Ephraim. The jealousy of Ephraim that really was the downfall of Israel. The fact that Israel was not united throughout the first temple period, where we lasted all of three kings, King Saul, King David, and his son King Shlomo. And after Solomon, in his son's reign, in Rehoboam's reign, you have the rebellion under Yeravam ben Nevat, and the ten tribes seed from the kingship, from the authority of Rehoboam. And for the remainder of the first temple period, you have two kingdoms in Israel. And although towards the end there was a time of peace when Achav and his and Yehoshaphat, you have a period from Achav onward where, if I'm not mistaken, it was Omri's daughter, Achav's sister, married the king of Israel. So from that period onward, you start having peace between the north and the south. You have relatives as kings, at least through marriage. Nonetheless, there was a constant jealousy, as we saw earlier in the Navi. You had a situation where the north joined forces with the Aramean Empire to attack the south. So part of the prophecy towards the coming of the Mashiach is Visara kinat Ephraim, the jealousy of Ephraim will be removed. Even though Ephraim sees how the leadership was taken by Judea. Vitzorere Yehuda yikareitu. The enemies of Judea will be cut down. Ephraim lo yekane et Yehuda. V'Yehuda lo yatzor et Ephraim. Ephraim will no longer be jealous of Judea, and Judea will not lay siege on Ephraim. And here we have an allusion to the two Mashiachs that are yet to come. There's Mashiach ben Yosef, a descendant of Ephraim, and Mashiach ben David. And even though you have two leaders with two different jobs, there will not be any enmity or jealousy between them. There will be the leader, Mashiach ben Yosef, and he's going to do what he has to do. Our tradition is that he ultimately gets killed. And then there's the leader, Mashiach ben David, who brings about the great redemption. But he does it based on the building of Mashiach ben Yosef. He builds off of that. Ve'afu bechateif pelishtim yama. And the Philistines, the Pelishtim, will fly. Ve'afu is like to fly, like a bird soars. So the Philistines will fly to the west of Israel. Yachdav yavozu et b'nei kedem. And Yehuda and Ephraim will join forces to plunder the people living in the east. Edom u'moav mishloach yadam u'vnei amon mishmatam. They will take down, they will loot Edom and Moab, and Ammon will be subservient to them. They will accept the sovereignty and leadership of Israel in the land of Israel. Vecherim Adonai eit leshon yam Mitzrayim. Hashem will cut down the lashon, literally means the tongue of the Sea of Egypt. It means the enclave where the sea goes into Egypt. So I assume the reference here is to the Nile. Vecherim Hashem. Hashem will cut down the waters of the Egyptian Nile so that people can cross it and come into the land of Israel. Vehenif yado al hanahar b'ayam ruho. And then Hashem will also wave His hand over the sea of the Euphrates. Ba'ayam ruho. And this will be the declaration, the statute of His Spirit. Ve'ikahu l'shiva nechalim ve'hidrich b'ne'alim. Hashem will smite each one of these and divide them into seven streams so that between each stream people can walk. Ve'hidrich b'ne'alim. And through these paths people will be able to walk and come back to the land of Israel. So Hashem will diminish and scatter each of these streams to make it easy for people to come back to Israel. Ve'ayeta mesila lishar amo asher yishayir me'ashur. Hashem will make a path where it's easy to travel for the remnants of the nation that remains in the Assyrian Empire. Kasher ayeta liYisrael b'yom aloto me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's going to be easy, smooth sailing, just as Israel had a path through the Yam Suf when they left Egypt, so too they'll have a path to return to the land of Israel when the time comes in the days of the Mashiach. And on that day you will say, Odecha Adonai ki anafta bi. Then you will say, thank you, Hashem. I appreciate your anger against me. Yashov apecha utenachameni. But now I've paid off my sin, and now let your anger recede, and you should comfort me. Hine el Yeshuati Evtach v'lo Efchad. Behold, the strength of my salvation is Hashem, and so I can be confident, I do not have to fear. What a pasuk. Hine el Yeshuati, the omnipotent one is my salvation. Being that I know that He is the one saving me, so then evtach, I can be confident, velo efchad, I have nothing to fear. Ki yozi v'zimchat ya Adonai vayhili lishua. Ki ozi, for my strength, that's one interpretation. The other, more classical interpretation is that the yud is superfluous. It's as though it would say, ki oz v'zimrat ka Hashem, because the salvation I receive stems from the strength of Hashem. It stems from the song of Hashem. Vayhili lishua. And that's going to be my salvation, so I have nothing to fear. So, ozi v'zimrat ka Hashem, vayhili lishua. So it's as though it would say, ki oz v'zimrat ka Hashem, because the strength and song in honor of Hashem, that's my salvation. So Rashi gives you many examples throughout Tanakh where you have an extra yud. It must be poetic form where they could add a word. You have it in the Torah itself. It says the will of Hashem. So it wants to say the will of the one who rested in the sneh, in the burning bush. So it says, Uritzon shochni sneh. Now, it should have said, according to our understanding of Dikduk, should have said, and the will of Shochen Sneh, or Shachan Sneh, the one who rested or who rests in that burning bush, right? Why does it say Shochni? So Rashi shows you that in song, and this is also a song of the future salvation, you have examples in Tanakh where the Yud does not connote personal ownership. And then Rashi goes into the Dikduk of it. Rashi says, if the word were my strength, then throughout Tanakh you do not find the word ozi. What you find is uzi. When it becomes mine on a personal level, then the vowel has to change. It should be uzi. And that you do find throughout Tanakh. You don't find anywhere in Tanakh the word oz meaning strength, and then the yud in the end, ozi. So even though grammatically you might think that's the way it should be, Rashi proves from different places in Tanakh that that's not the way Hebrew works. So then he says, okay, so you have a word here that doesn't exist grammatically. You have the word oz, and then you have the final yud at the end. What's it saying? It doesn't seem to be saying uzi. In the interpretation, it would work. There's no problem saying my strength is the fact that Hashem is my salvation. We could interpret it that way. Rashi just says grammatically, that's not what it's saying.
But it also playing with Hashem always in the Lo Yiten. Hashem is where I can.
Yeah, I'm saying if we interpreted the word the way Rashi says is wrong, right, the pasuk would still work. Rashi just says grammatically, that's not what it means. Right. So in order to finish the Havdalah, let's just do one more pasuk. Ushavtem mayim bisason mima'aynei ha'yeshua. Just as someone who draws water from a well that is consistent, so he draws it with happiness, he doesn't have to worry, maybe there won't be enough. So too, ushavtem mayim b'sason, you will draw with happiness, mimaynei ha'yeshua, from the wellsprings of salvation. And the metaphor is that the salvation will be so wonderful, you won't have to worry, maybe it's going to finish. One of the reasons we have issues in our life is because we're always cognizant of death. we're always cognizant of the end point. Now, this is a double-edged sword. It says, L'chol tichla ra'iti kitz. Everything has an end, Shlomo HaMelech says. So that's a good thing. Vayhi miketz shnatayim yamim. Yosef knows there's going to be an end to this period of incarceration. He's going to get out of jail eventually. Vayhi miketz shnatayim yamim. Finally he came to the end. Ketz sam nachoshech. That God says, I put a limit to the darkness. Every night you see it. Gets dark, it gets dark, it gets darker. And just before you think there's nothing left, it gets light. There's this rule in finance that at your breaking point, when you think you should sell at a loss or buy at a loss, that's when the market's about to turn around. People almost always will buy at the worst time and sell at the worst time. When you finally heard that this is a great deal to enter, that's usually when you shouldn't enter. That's when it's about to crash. When you're about to pull out because it's crashed, that's usually when it's about to turn around and go up. So there's an end point, and it's usually just where people are about to give up. That's just when it's about to turn around. You see it in Mitzrayim also. We were about to lose it. Boom, turns around. Mimaynei Yeshua, the great gift that Hashem promises us for the days of the Mashiach, is that there will be wellsprings of salvation where you don't have to worry it's going to be over. You guys probably know this. You go to the Luna Park, you sit in the Ferris wheel, you sit in the merry-go-round, you sit in that carousel, and every second you're thinking, or the bumper cars, are they going to end it now? From the second you sit down, you have that feeling, any second now it's going to stop. Now you know you have 3 minutes, 5 minutes, you saw everyone before you. But you keep waiting for that moment. You know it's coming. But that's all of life. We know every wonderful thing is going to come to an end. The blessing that Hashem tells us about the Mashiach is, it's going to be Mimaynei Yeshua. Just as a consistent stream gives us confidence, we can draw from it peacefully, we know there's more where that came from. The same is true with the salvation that the Mashiach will bring. It will be that type of salvation, like Ma'inei Yeshua, like a wellspring of salvation, where you know tomorrow morning there's going to be more of it. You know it's just continuing onward. And that's a blessing in and of itself. It happens to be very different than the salvation from Egypt. Our sages say, Vayanecha, God tortured you. Receiving the man was torture. Because when you go to sleep every night and your pantry's empty, the fact that God promises you, or not even promises, but you know every morning the man falls down, but you got to go to sleep with an empty pantry. It says that's torture. You don't eat well. You don't sleep well. Even though you know it's been 38 years, every morning there's man outside. Still, it's not a comfortable way to go to sleep. So over here, we get an even better salvation, where you know it's just continuing.